item number six.
From the Director Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding an update on local secure placement options for adjudicated youth in Milwaukee County. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right, this is Director Colon.
Yes, Eric Moll will give a brief overview of the report.
Thank you. Madam Chair and Supervisors, you recall back in the fall, Chairman Halloway had asked us to present a report, which we did, describing what efforts would be made both locally and regionally to, if you might want to say, capitalize on the statutory changes that were put in the budget. If you recall, Chairman Halloway helped kind of usher through the budget process legislative change that would allow the judiciary, with county board's blessing, to use local secure facilities for an expanded period of time, basically going from 30 days to 180 days. So what you have in front of you is an update to where we're at. Back in the fall, we had identified a couple of steps that we're looking to achieve. Those have been itemized of where we're at with those, one being a new risk assessment tool. If you recall, one of the things that we don't want to see happen is somehow we open the net too wide, and if this is truly meant to be an alternative to corrections, we want to make sure that we're truly diverting kids from corrections. So as we speak, I'm happy to report that ACT training is actually going on this week. Staff are very excited about it, and that will conclude in approximately April. We've also done some training in the area of cognitive intervention strategies. So a number of our staff and a number of our community providers that you're probably familiar with, Running Rebels and St. Charles, have been trained in that as well, and they're starting to implement some of those practice at the FOCUS program, which you're aware of. There is a flow chart just to try to give you a little more easier description of what we're looking at doing here. The point that we're at is that we would be coming back to the committee probably in May, because the board does need to give approval to the judiciary to use the secure facility locally. And then we're also going to be pursuing, still maintain our options with Racine County. And really, you know, kind of the best of both worlds. There are still some things that we'll have to work through. We do make a point in the report of emphasizing that one of the key pieces to any of these strategies is really the reentry process. I don't want to de-emphasize it, but, you know, placing kids, I don't want to say is the easy part. That's not easy. But whatever we do in terms of placement needs to be sort of undone, and that's sort of the challenge of reentry. So those are some of the pieces that we have to still put in place in terms of the monitoring, returning back to the community, which whether youth go to Lincoln Hills or remain in our community, at the end of the day, I'll tell you, at age 17.4, 17.5, like clockwork, they will all return to our community, and we all have a vested interest to deal with that situation. So this is basically an update of where we're at. I can tell you that the detention center staff are excited about it, and I think we're in a good position. The average population has been below our functional capacity, which means that we think we do have, if we start out slowly, and my experience is when you build slowly and kind of build it from the ground up, usually you kind of work out the bugs along the way, and it's usually the way to proceed. So I think we're in a good position moving forward.
Okay. Here we go. Supervisor Jurcik.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate the fact that we're starting to collaborate with other counties. You're doing it with regard to Racine here. I had a conversation with our new MPS superintendent. Mm-hmm. I'm having a senior moment.
Superintendent Thornton.
Thank you.
Sorry, no problem.
Dr. Thornton had an op-ed in the paper, I think 2 weeks ago, in which he talked about the community should be filled with outrage because of some deaths among our juveniles. And I told him, yes, I agree with that. We should be filled with outrage. But sometimes we tend to beat ourselves up because we are living in Milwaukee in a 12 million person corridor. It really starts in Gary, Indiana, and goes all the way through Milwaukee County. And one of the things, and I learned this actually as a teacher. I started at Brown Street School as a teacher back in the, maybe I don't need to go that far back, but I can tell you, one of the things I learned there was that individuals in poverty actually are very mobile. Sometimes we don't always think that. We think of travel, et cetera, mobility as something that is true of people with resources. But those impoverished tend to be very mobile for a lot of reasons. First of all, they don't own homes. They tend to be in temporary facilities a lot. Evictions, foreclosures, even homelessness. And all of that causes a lot of mobility. And it's not mobility that just happens in the city of Milwaukee. It happens throughout this corridor. So you may have a family that's actually been mobile from Chicago to Kenosha to Racine to Milwaukee and back again. And I don't object to, you know, the community resources, et cetera, being used for these things. I think we have to address the issues. But sometimes we tend to beat ourselves up over issues that we don't always have jurisdictional control over. And corrections is a very good area in which to talk about this. And ultimately, the question I'm trying to get to with you is, do we kind of monitor the kids in our system as to whether these truly were kids that were born in Milwaukee, we're in our school system in Milwaukee, and now are in the juvenile correction system? Or do we not keep those kinds of statistics? I'm just wondering if you have statistics that go to that question.
The basic answer is no. The data systems don't integrate to that level that would allow that. I can tell you that approximately 18 months ago or 12 months ago, we did go, for example, to the MPS school board and actually got the school board to give us access to their system. There's still some technical issues that have to be resolved, but kind of to your point, that's one of the strategies that we're trying to develop and implement is, where appropriate, understanding there's rules of confidentiality and due process, but gather that information so that we're in a better position to try to figure out issues like you're saying of, you know, the movement and how hard it is. That gets right to your point. As a past educator, of the issue of credit recovery is a huge issue because kids do change school districts and the credits don't follow them. And so that's been a real kind of bear in the system, if you will. Even though they might have clearly had the hours, the school systems don't always talk. We think they do, but they don't. And next thing you know, a youth has spent, you know, X amount of years but doesn't have the credits. And that's a real problem. So, but no, the short answer is we don't have that level of detail. There are efforts being made both with child welfare information system and, for example, MPS to try to capture that. We actually have a project out of Georgetown University that we're working on with the DA's office and child welfare, which gets to this issue of crossover youth. And so part of that project is to do a sample review of cases that come in, not just through the lens of juvenile justice, but to pull in the educational piece and to pull in the child welfare piece and the mental health piece to really try to get a clearer picture, especially for the kids that enter the juvenile justice system at a young age, of what those kids really look like. And, you know, unfortunately, but moving forward, in hindsight, what could have been done differently? And so that's really what's emerging, I think, in the field is this cross-systems approach as opposed to just each of us doing our own little thing. Because quite frankly, we may be, you know, sort of overspending money because we're duplicating services. And so there's other reasons to be pursuing that as well besides programmatic.
But I would, and I'm not trying to get at individual students' records or in any way compromise the privacy of that. That's not my goal here. I would really like to know that question, though, and I'm wondering if the department could start keeping records like that, just indicating whether a juvenile that's going through the correctional system actually did come out of the Milwaukee Public School System for a period of, you know, significant years, whatever that period is, maybe even going back to kindergarten, I don't know. You know, whether they truly are a child that has been in this community, or if this is, in fact, a very mobile child who's really coming through, you know, some very tough streets in Chicago, areas in Kenosha, Racine, and then eventually came up to Milwaukee. I am in no way suggesting we shouldn't provide services But it could it could change the focus, and it also could change the discussion of this. I mean, rather than just always beating ourselves up, to recognize an issue and to work on collaboration with other areas, rather than pretend this is just a Milwaukee County issue and we have to grapple with it, there could be a different focus. And I would really like to have the department start getting those kinds of issues. And just going back for a moment to my teaching days, I kind of recognized that issue just because it was so obvious. Every time a kid came into my classroom, I had to go through, you know, cumulative folder, get the statistics, get that kid, you know, properly filed in my classroom. And it became pretty apparent to me pretty quickly that I was constantly doing that. So the next year in school, I started from the beginning of the school year. I actually had a class that from September to June, I had only 25% of the kids that I started with. Mm. And when you start holding teachers responsible for, you know, grades and so on, if you don't know those statistics, it really is how to lie the statistics. Okay, I've got some raw scores, testing scores, but what the heck, you're going to hold a teacher responsible for kids that didn't stay there and go through a whole course of, you know, a learning? So, you know, it's an issue that I think we need to start looking more closely at, and I think all of us need to be very aware that this is a large metropolitan area of 12 million people along the shore of Lake Michigan, which really is much larger than Milwaukee County. We may have more in common with the city of Chicago than we do with northern Wisconsin. And our solutions may be in Illinois and working with those cross-border jurisdictions than going to Madison. So I think we need to start looking at things like that. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Mo, just for the newer members of the Health and Human Needs Committee, can you just let us know how long you've been working on this Racine?
Sure. The Racine has done this program, if you will, I think going on 9 years or so. I may have off a couple years. But we started to pursue it back in 2009, and then ran into some legal challenges, different interpretations. The law is not crystal clear, and so different attorneys have different takes on things. So we kind of backpedaled on it, and then through the last budget process, knowing that things were going to get tighter and also recognizing that not just here but statewide that there was sort of under capacity in local facilities, began some of the discussions, and Chairman Holloway was helpful in that to suggest that one of the things they could look at is changing the state law. And so that occurred just prior to the adoption of the state budget. So we placed a couple kids in Racine. Nothing to write home about. It would be disingenuous to reflect on that at all because two kids doesn't really tell me much. And so that's kind of the impetus of where it started. And now we're at the point to kind of move forward. I can tell you that Rock County is doing something very similar in their local county. Fond du Lac is looking at it. All with different strategies, and we've been communicating with them. Just to your point about partnership, and I'm glad that you recognized it, because when we did like our cognitive training, we brought in Waukesha, Racine, I think out of Gamey County, and with like this risk tool, as counties now are really embracing the best practices and sharing information, we're capitalizing on that by inviting them. So we can just do sheer size, Milwaukee County can sponsor a training, and we do charge them, not, you know, to make them pay for the whole thing, but it's mutually beneficial because we do have a certain amount of capacity where we can bring a trainer in, and then they wouldn't be able to do that otherwise. And so it's working out quite well. And that's exactly, when people talk about grants and foundation funds in terms of best practice and replication, that is really what it's meant to do, is to share the wealth and learn from it, and that's really what we're trying to do. So I have to give credit also to Rock County, Kenosha, and Outagamie, who has been real helpful, you know, helping us kind of learn the pains, and I don't need to reinvent the wheel if they've been through some trouble as well. So.
And I also know that you have been to Rock County and looked at their, is it the day recording centers that they have there for the kids?
Right.
So that's, mm-hmm. Yeah, so he definitely, Mr. Moll does a great job of getting his hands in every way. So are there any other comments or questions from committee members? Thank you very much.
Thanks.